Good morning. Let me ask you, if you would, to open your Bibles to the book of James chapter 5. James chapter 5. We'll look at a passage here in just a moment. I love this article in today's bulletin when it talks about motherly advice. I think we're all grateful for our mothers that we have. And she gave this advice to her kids. Four rules. Go to church. I love that rule. That's a good rule. Love each other. Stay clean and work hard. I think those are good rules to follow. And we can think about this because in our lesson this morning, as we're looking at the book of Jeremiah, it tells us about all the different problems that people encounter because of a phase in their life they can be guilty of. And I like the way that it was stated this morning. And that was, there might be someone here this morning. You've come here, you're sitting now in the pew, but you're going through what? Going through the motions. And what God wants is your honest, true commitment to Him, not just going through the motions. And we need to think about that because we can be so drawn into so many different things. But God wants us right now to give Him the honor, the glory, to worship Him in truth and spirit. We can be guilty of that. Richard brought up a song, Slip Sliding Away. Slowly, one thing after another can lead you to become more complacent towards our God, and we have to be careful about that. And one thing he noted, and he almost stole my sermon again today, one thing that people usually do when they start slipping away from God is their prayer life is not like it should be. They don't spend time in prayer to God. Let me ask you a question. Is prayer important? Yes, it is. There was a little boy, it was a Christmas time of year, and he wanted to ask God for something specific. So he started this letter. He said, Dear God, I've been good for the last 6 weeks. And he had to cross out 6 weeks. Put in 4 weeks. Then he had to cross off 4 weeks. He had to put 2 weeks. He had to cross that out. He got frustrated. So he went downstairs and they had a nativity scene. You know what that is. You got the manger. You got Mary standing there, Jesus, and you got Father. And he grabbed Mary and went back to where he was writing. And he said, Dear God, if you ever want to see your mother again, when I first read that example, I cringed. Can you imagine a child doing that? Dear God, if you ever want to see your mother again, this is what I want. But sometimes people get that attitude, don't they? They want to make demands of God rather than the way it should be. Now let's look at Jeremiah chapter 5 and verse 16. And I'd like you to think about your prayer life. Do you spend time every day in prayer to God? It's so important. When we think about our loved ones, our family, we don't know if we'll see our family members tomorrow, do we? I walk every day. I get out there to do my exercise. I try to keep this body moving. And sometimes when I'm walking out there, I go sometimes 3 or 4 miles, all of a sudden a storm starts to come. And a thunderstorm. And I'm out there walking. And it used to be I was really scared. I wanted to, get out of that. I'm still concerned, right? But now I know if God wants me, He's going to take me. If God wants me, He'll take me before I get home. So now I don't worry about it so much. I just keep getting there, get home. I want to get out of it. But I know it's up to God. It's in God's hands what's going to take place. Yesterday, we're sitting there, I'm working at the on my sermon, and all of a sudden a lightning strike hits right in our yard. Blew it up. Poof! That's the closest I've ever been to a lightning strike. Less than 50 feet away. Can God take us at any time? Yes, he can. Now look what it says in James chapter 5, verse 16. Because our prayer life is so important. And he says here, confess your faults one to another, pray for one another, that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Prayer is a blessing that Christians can have. Prayer is a great spiritual blessing that we can have because we spend time in communion with our God. And notice what it says there, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Let's turn now to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. Because this is how we can be blessed. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, it says, blessed be the God of our Father and of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. So he has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Now I want you to notice this. Who are those blessings given to? Who are they given to? They are given to those who have committed their lives to Jesus, who have been obedient to our Lord. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12. And we can see this. Those who are God's people have spiritual blessings. And I love the way Peter says this in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. He's looking out for you. And his ears are open unto their prayers. So those who are in Christ, we are told that the Lord's eyes are there over the righteous, and he says his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Now notice the contrast. If you're his, he's over you, he's looking out for you, he's hearing your prayers. But if you are not his, look at the warnings that you have there. He's against them that do evil. Now, the unrighteous then, those who are not in Christ, they cannot have the same confidence that those who are in Christ can have. And this is something here, because sometimes prayer becomes like an emergency exit or a fire escape. And I know this sometimes before I was a Christian. I thought I was a Christian, but I wasn't. Before I would go into a big exam, guess what I would do? I would pray, dear God, please help me pass this exam. Help me get through it. You ever experienced that? You pray before you meet something that's a great challenge? Well, a lot of times people do that even though they are not committed to Christ. They don't follow him as they should. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9. Because prayer is how we communicate with our Father. We have a relationship with God. And that relationship is very close. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9, he says, after this manner pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And what he's teaching us is this relationship that we have with God the Father. He is our Father who art in heaven. Now, how do we become his children? Let's turn to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. Galatians chapter 3, and verse 26. Because if you're here this morning and you have obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, you are his children in a very special kind of way. He wants that close relationship with you. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 26, for you are all the children of God By faith in Christ Jesus. How will we become his children? By faith in him. Now go down to verse, or chapter 4. Chapter 4. And look at verses 4 and 5. And here Paul says, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. God sent his son, made of a woman. Now, I want you to think about that because it's very special here, the birth of our Lord. Because God is his father, and he was born of a woman. And now why? Look at verse 5. To redeem them that were under law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. So when we obey the gospel, we become his adopted children in such a way that we can look at it. Look at verse 6. And because you are his sons, Galatians chapter 4, verse 6, because you are his sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. So we have become his adopted children, and we are now going to receive those blessings that are promised to each and every one of us. So what Jesus is pointing out when we pray, we have the honor that we can call him our Father. We have the honor that we can come to him and commune with him in prayer. Now we need to make sure that we take advantage of this. We need to take advantage of this relationship that we have with our God, that we can come to him in prayer. Let's turn to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. And again, this idea of prayer to our God. In Luke chapter 18, beginning at verse 1, Jesus now speaks a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. So in this parable, he's teaching them, men ought always to pray and not to faint. And then he gives them a little parable. There was a judge who didn't fear God, didn't regard men. There was a widow in that city. She came to him saying, avenge me of my adversary. But he wouldn't do it. But afterward, he came to himself. He says, though I fear God, nor regard men, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. God wants to hear our prayers. And in verse 1 there, Luke 18, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Now think about that. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Go down to verse 7 now. Because prayer can lead God to take action on our behalf. In verse 7, and God shall not avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? And that's the question. Again, look at verse 1. Men ought always to pray. And the reason that we ought always to pray is this, is because we have faith in our God. We trust our God. He is our Father. And we know that if we have something that is troubling us, that we can turn to him in prayer. Now again, we need to ask in faith, not doubting. Let's turn to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 6. And I think this is the heart of the matter. Because as Christians, we need to understand the relationship we have with our Father, and we need to make sure that we don't doubt that relationship any time. In James chapter 1 and verse 6, this is how we do it. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. And then giving the comparison. For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. So when we ask in faith, and we don't waver in that faith. We don't yield or give up that faith. We don't become complacent. We spend time in prayer. Let's turn down to 1 John. chapter 5, verse 14. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. Again, the importance of prayer. And this is what he says, and this is the confidence that we have in him. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. If we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have petitions that we desire of him. The way that John puts this is very clear and very precise. You have to read it carefully. Look again at verse 14. If we ask anything according to what? According to his will. And that's the important thing. Is it God's will, the thing that we ask? And then he says, and we know that he hears us if we do it this way. If we ask him according to his will. Now, something about our prayer life, too. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 1, verse 18. Does anybody here, has anybody here ever sinned? Anybody? We all have sinned, haven't we? We all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But here's one of the wonderful things about prayer. And that is, when we sin, we can come to God in prayer, can't we? Look at 1 John chapter 1 and verse 8. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 8. And look at what he says to us. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Look at verse 9 now. Here's the big one. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Every Christian has that assurance. Now notice what I said. Every Christian has that assurance. And that assurance, again, if we confess our sins, he is faithful to forgive us our sins. Now, let's understand this, though. Prayer is so important. Let's turn to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8 and verse 22. Because here we're told, here's somebody who was a Christian. He did something wrong. And here's what he is told in Acts chapter 8, verse 22, repent therefore of this wickedness and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. Repent and pray to God for forgiveness. Now that is the admonishment that every Christian has. Repent and pray to God. But if you're not a Christian, can you just pray to God and be forgiven? No. And I want to look at a biblical example of this, because there might be someone sitting here right now, you have not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. But you want to, but you haven't done it yet. Are your sins forgiven if you haven't obeyed the gospel? No, they're not. God loves you. God wants you to repent of your sins. He wants you to confess them. He wants you to be baptized for what? The remission of sins. God wants you to be forgiven. And when you obey the gospel and you sin again, and you will, you can go to God in prayer and repent of it and be forgiven. But that is open only to who? Those who have obeyed the gospel. Now let's look at an example of this. Let's turn to Acts chapter 10. Because there are people today who say all you got to do is pray and you're forgiven. All you have to do is pray and you're forgiven. That is not what the Bible teaches. In Acts chapter 10, verse 1, we have an example. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band, a devout man, one that feared God with all his house, which gave alms to the people and prayed to God always. What did he do always? He prayed to God. Now notice that. A devout man. Did many wonderful things. He prayed to God. But he was not yet in a right relationship with him. Verse 3. He saw in a vision evidently about the ninth hour of the day an angel of God coming into him and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said to them, Thy prayers and thy alms are come up for a memorial for God. Now send men to Joppa and call one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodged with Simon the tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. Now there's the key. He's praying. It's come up as a memorial before God, but his sins are not yet forgiven. And what's he told to do? Send for somebody. He's going to tell you, look at verse 6 again, he will tell you what thou oughtest to do. Now, is that message the same for people today who've not yet obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ? Yes, it is. You can pray to God all you want, and God wants you to turn to him. And when you turn to him, though, he's going to want you to know there's something that you need to do to have a right relationship with him. Go down to verse 22. And here we find something about, and they said, Cornelius the centurion, a just man, a one that fears God, a good report among all the nations of the Jews, and warned from God of a holy angel to send for thee into his house to hear words of thee. Here Peter's told, you got to go to this man, and you got to tell him what God wants him to do. Are Christians called to do that today? To go out into all the world, make disciples of men, baptizing them in the name of what? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. The same message, isn't it? Peter was sent to Cornelius to tell him what he needed to do. And we as Christians today are given the same commandment to go into the world to let people know what God wants them to do. God wants them to do something. Look at verse 30 now in Acts chapter 10. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing, and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are held in remembrance in the sight of God. Send to them therefore to Joppa and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter, who was lodged in the house of one Simon tanner by the seaside, who when he cometh, he shall speak unto thee. So Cornelius is saying, this is what I was told to do. I was praying, and I was told to do this. And he did it. Look at verse 33. Immediately therefore I sent to thee, that thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore we are all present before God to hear all things that are commanded of thee. Did Cornelius have the right attitude? Yes, he did. His heart was open. He wanted to hear what he ought to do. He wanted to hear what he ought to do. Why? He always turned to God in prayer. He was looking for what God wanted him to do. Now, Peter's going to tell him what he needs to do. And this I love, because before I became a Christian, I thought I was a Christian. I really, truly believed I was a Christian. But when I read this passage of Scripture, when I read the Bible, I found out that what I believed was wrong. I had been lied to. I had been taught wrong. And then you have to make a decision, don't you? Because when you read God's Word, you have to ask yourself a question. Am I doing what God wants me to do? Am I doing what God wants me to do? And then look here in Acts chapter 10, verse 47. Because Peter says this, Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, who have received the Holy Ghost as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord, then prayed they tarry him certain days. So what's he command them to do? What's he tell them to do? You need to be baptized. Again, you go back to Acts chapter 2, the first time the gospel was preached. They asked the question, what must we do? Because they understood the condition they were in. And what did they tell them on Pentecost? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. That is what we're commanded in the scriptures. Again, prayer is a very powerful, powerful tool for those who want to have a relationship with God. And one thing, too, prayer can also help us in a time of need. Because there are going to be times when we have needs because of the things that are happening to us in the world. I was talking to one of my brethren yesterday about this, the power of prayer. Because things are going to happen unexpected, aren't they? And we have great concerns for those we love. We don't want bad things to happen. But can you prevent bad things from happening? No, you cannot. But one thing God commands us to do is to what? Pray to Him. Pray in faith. Pray without ceasing. Be fervent in prayer. So our prayer life as Christians is so important. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Because the beauty of this in prayer, and it came up in our class, God knows what we need before we even ask. God knows what we need before we even ask. But He wants that relationship with us. He wants us to come to Him in prayer. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, ask, it shall be given to you. Seek, you will find. Knock, the door shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there, if whom your son asks for bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give you good things to them that ask Him? Now, it was brought up in class this morning. You know, we live in a world that is very evil, very wicked. A lot of bad things happening. And back in the time of the day of Jeremiah, they're under captivity, we see that bad things even happen to those who were faithful to Him. And that can happen to us today, and it will. It does, around the world. We can see bad things happening to those who are faithful to God. But here we have that confidence again that our Heavenly Father will provide the things that we need. Let's turn now to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Again, the idea about our prayer. Be careful for nothing. Some versions say be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And notice how it says, and the way it's stated here, it's like a command. In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's how He wants us to pray. I'm going to give one more example here about prayer. I thought this was kind of interesting. There were some farmers, and they got together daily out in their field. And right now they were experiencing a horrible drought, no rain for a long time. And they were down on their knees, and they were looking upward and praying the skies would open and bring forth rain. But the rain didn't come. And they, you know, were praying every day. But they met every morning and they made their request to God. And one morning a stranger passed by and he saw them down there on their knees. He said, what are you guys doing? He said, we're praying for rain. And he looked at them and he shook their head. He says, no, I don't think it's going to rain. And one of the farmers said, of course we're praying. We are down on our knees. We're pleading for rain. I look around and he sees the drought. We haven't had rain for more than a year. And then the stranger says, what you guys are doing isn't going to work. The second farmer jumped in and he said, we need the rain. We aren't asking only for ourselves. We're asking for our families and our livestock. And the man looked and he says, you're wasting your time. And the third farmer, he couldn't take it, says, okay, what would you do if you were in our shoes? He says, you really want to know? And they said, we really do want to know. What would you do? He said, I would have brought an umbrella. I would have brought an umbrella. You know why he said that? So that you have confidence that God's going to answer your prayer. We'll end on that note. Okay. We'll end on that note. So pray, having confidence if we pray according to his will, that our prayers and requests will be answered. If you're here this morning, you're not a Christian, I want to encourage you to take that step. That is the most important step you're going to make in this life, is obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ, putting him first in your life, and then know that you can have that warm relationship with him because he will be your heavenly Father that you can turn to in prayer. If you need the prayers of this congregation, please come forward now as we stand and sing the song of invitation.